"Will he eat?" Bix asked them. "What I have is poor and rough, but such as there is, I'd be happy to share."
"With thanks," Susanna said. She looked at the overhead cable that ran across the river on a diagonal. "This is a ferry, isn't it?"
"Yeah," Jake said. "Bix told me there are people on the other side. Not close, but not far either. He thinks they are rice farmers, but they don't come this way much."
Bix stepped off the big raft and went into the boathouse. Eddie waited until he heard the old guy rummaging around, then bent to Jake and said in a low voice, "Is he okay?"
"He's fine," Jake said. "It's the way we're going, and he's happy to have someone to take across. He says it's been years."
"I bet it has been," Eddie agreed.
Bix reappeared with a wicker basket, which Roland took from him. Otherwise, the old man might have tumbled into the water. Soon they were all sitting in the wicker chairs, munching popkins filled with some sort of pink fish. It was seasoned and delicious.
"Eat all you like," Bix said. "The river's filled with shanties, and most are true-threaded. The muties I throw back. Once upon a time, we were ordered to throw the bad uns up a bank so they wouldn't breed more, and for a while I did, but now..." He shrugged. "Live and let live is what I say. As someone who's lived long himself, I feel like I can say it."
"How old are you?" Jake asked.
"I turned 120 quite some time ago, but since then I've lost count, so I have. Time's short on this side of the door, Kennet."
On this side of the door. That memory of some old story tugged at Roland again, and then was gone.
"Do you follow that?"
The old man pointed to the moving band of clouds in the sky.
"We do. To the Kalas or beyond?"
"Beyond."
"To the great darkness?"
Bix looked both troubled and fascinated by the idea.
"We go our course," Roland said. "What fee would you take to cross us, Cy Ferryman?"
Bix laughed. The sound was cracked and cheerful.
"Money's no good with nothing to spend it on. You have no livestock, and it's clear as day that I have more to eat than you do. And you could always draw on me and force me to take you across."
"Never," Susanna said, looking shocked.
"I know that," Bix said, waving a hand at her. "Harriers might, and then burn my ferry for good measure once they got to the other side. But true men of the gun, never. And women, too, I suppose. You don't seem armed, missus, but with women one can never tell."
Susanna smiled thinly at this and said nothing. Bix turned to Roland.
"You come from Ludd, I wot. I'd hear of Ludd and how things go there, for it was a marvelous city, so it was. Crumbling and growing strange when I knew it, but still marvelous."
The four of them exchanged a look that was all Antet, that particular telepathy they shared. It was a look that was also dark with shoom, the old mid-world term that can mean shame, but also means sorrow.
"What?" Bix asked. "What have I said? If I've asked for something you'd not give, I cry your pardon."
"Not at all," Roland said. "But Ludd..."
"Ludd is dust in the wind," Susanna said.
"Well," Eddie said, "not dust, exactly."
"Ashes," Jake said. "The kind that glow in the dark."
Bix pondered this, then nodded slowly.
"I'd hear anyway, or as much as you can tell in an hour's time. That's how long the crossing takes."